listening to the English Express Radio Podcast. Visit us online at theenglishexpress.com. Be a part of the program by emailing us at info@theenglishexpress.com. Audio files are available online, so you can listen to the show wherever you go. On the bus, in the shower, out back with the pool boy. Wait, what? Let's start the show. All aboard the English Express.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us here on the English Express Radio Podcast with your host, Cliff and Brandon. Brandon, of course, is not here. He's doing whatever it is he's doing up in the mountains of Oregon. Probably fishing. I hope he's fishing. If he's up there working on his cabin, there are better things to do, my friend. Now, it's hard to ignore the big news of the day. It happened, what, yesterday? As of recording, it happened yesterday. Britain is no longer part of the European Union. Well, they are for another 2 years. It's going to take them some time to go over the transition. But they are moving out. They just can't take it anymore. Their parents in the European Union keep telling them what to do, and they just can't stand it anymore. And they said, I've had enough, and I'm moving out of the house. Well, it's not quite like that. But yeah, 52% of the vote says they don't want to be a part of things anymore. The reason that people voted to leave has to do with immigration. And for those of you who don't know, the way the European Union works is open borders. You can get the Schengen visa, and basically you can go anywhere in the European Union. That includes Great Britain. And if you're a citizen of, say, France or Germany or Greece, you get to go to England with no visa and work there and live there. And it's just kind of give people free rein to do whatever it is they want to do. A good way to think about this, how do you explain this? Let's say America, United States. Let's say we entered into an American Union. And all of the North American countries, what do we got? Canada, America, Mexico. We say we're all part of the same group together. And if you are a citizen of one of these countries, you can pretty much go anywhere and do whatever you want. And there's a group of learned individuals who set up in a country. Let's say it's Victoria, up in Canada or something like that. And they make a lot of your decisions for you. You lose a lot of your autonomy, your freedom to do what it is that you want to do. And they tell your country what it's going to do. And so you lose a lot of that control. And then, of course, you have people from Mexico, people from Canada, who just move into your country, whether you want them there or not. And the big cities around the English area, they're being overrun with Muslims. I mean, a lot of Muslims from these European Union countries are all moving in. And the Britons feel like they're being forced to accept these people. And what really irritates the Brits is when people move in, they expect them to assimilate, to kind of adopt their culture, to learn English, and they're not doing it. They're saying, we're going to bring our culture, their Muslim culture, into Great Britain. They're going to bring their own traditions into Great Britain. And they're basically not living the British way of life. And so Great Britain now wants to close off their borders and say, we want control of our country back. We want to make the decisions that we feel are important. We want to decide who can and cannot come to our country and the rules that govern what you have to do when you are allowed in. I think that in the long term, this is going to be very, very good for Great Britain. In the short term, it is going to cause a little bit of pain for countries all over the world. Financial pain, definitely. The stock markets obviously are already feeling that. You know, long term, I think it's going to be a great thing for them. Well, that's my only political thing for the day. So to begin with the fun things, on this date, well, yesterday, I guess, in 1868, a patent was granted for a brand new invention, something that changed the world. Because before this time, we did have printed words, you know, mechanically printed words, but it was almost exclusively in the printing industry. You had newspapers being made, books being made, and they had to set the type manually by hand. And then they would print out, you know, 1,000 pages or hundreds of pages, whatever they needed to do before they would set the next page. And that's the way printing was done. So in 1868, Christopher Latham Sholes was granted an invention, a patent for an invention called the typewriter. Handwritten patent, of course. And almost instantly, a quick brown fox jumped over a lazy dog back in school. I remember back in high school, we actually took a typing class, and we had like these old school, like 1960s typewriters. And that was the first thing that they taught us. A quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog. Well, here's some quick typewriter trivia. Of course, you know he won the award for the neatest patent application that year because it was typewritten. The very first typewriter, the one that he built, that he got the patent for, was the size of a dining room table. So this thing was huge. It only had capital letters, and the paper inside the machine was not visible to the typist. So not very practical, but a step in the right direction. The first practical typewriter, invented by the same guy and marketed by Remington Arms in 1873. I guess they weren't sure that guns were going to be very popular. They decided to start selling typewriters, you know. And diversification is never a bad thing. Did you know that the first novel ever written on a typewriter was The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain? I guess before this, everything was just handwritten, which, boy, I'm telling you, that must have been some dedication. If you've got a story that you just have to get out there, enough for you to handwrite it. You know, a lot of people have wondered about the arrangement of the keys. We all call it the QWERTY keyboard in English, because if you look at the first line, it starts with QWERTY. Well, how did they come up with that arrangement? Is that something that that was really planned? Well, not as much thought actually went into the arrangement of the letters on the standard typing keyboard. They were set up in such a fashion to let salesmen reach over and quickly type out typewriter on the demonstration models, which, if you pay attention, this is something that can be spelled out, typed out, entirely on the first line. So it was just set up to make it easy for salesmen to better sell the product. Smith and Corona introduced the first portable typewriter in 1957 in Syracuse, New York, weighing in at a hefty 19 pounds. And I believe that when I was in high school in 1996, that was the exact same model they were still using. Yeah, schools are not known for really spending a lot of money on updated equipment. I think they just got computers last year at my old high school, actually. All right. So what about men? Do you know men very well? Do you know how men think, how they act, how they live? Well, I've got some great facts for you guys from a book. It's called When It Comes to Guys, and it's going to teach you women out there all about us men, and probably teach guys about themselves, because guys are too dumb to really realize what it is they're doing in the first place. If you're a man, or if you think about the man in your life, and he could pick any title, like the smartest man, the fastest man, the richest man, well, they asked men if they could be known by any title, the number one choice is the world's sexiest man. Which I understand that, because if you're the world's sexiest man, you probably get a lot of attention, you get some job opportunities, and so if you're sexy, maybe like everything else comes after. You can be rich and ugly, money's all you ever have, but if you're sexy, yeah, you can do an awful lot in life. Men love money so much that they spend almost as much time thinking about money as they do sex. But only 35% enjoy sex more than money. Yeah, those are the guys who buy the sex. Now, let's say somebody came to you and they gave you the option to spend 6 months in jail, but for somebody else. So you didn't commit a crime. They say, but if you go to jail for me for 6 months, I'll give you $1 million. Man, $1 million for 6 months work? Just hanging out in jail? And we're not even talking prison. We're talking jail. That's not even that bad. Sign me up. Give me $1 million. 6 months. That's nothing. So, you know, and you get out. You got all this money. You can buy a business. You can turn. Oh, that's totally worth it. I would definitely spend 6 months in jail for somebody for $1 million. So if you did something wrong and you want to pay me $1 million, send me an email on the website and we'll work something out. What about pizza? You like pizza? I think every man loves pizza. Well, the average guy eats about 23 pounds of pizza every year, but 50 pounds of pork, so more than double that. I guess as much as men love pizza, they like meat even more. Or maybe it's just because it's heavier, because, you know, bread, it's not that, you know, it's kind of light. So you probably have to eat a lot more pizza to equal the same weight. Anyway, men think that dropped food is okay to eat in 5 seconds or less. Okay, that's a load of garbage. In 5 seconds, that's what they tell women so that they don't look bad, you know. Oh, yeah, well, I've got a 5 second rule. In reality, it's more like a 30-minute rule. If I find, well, not me, I would never do anything like that. But, you know, a lot of guys, you find something on the floor, as long as it's not dirty, they're going to eat it. That's just men. Now, how about it when it comes to men's attraction to women? Now, here in America, I don't know about where you live, but in America and the people that I know, they all say on women, they love huge breasts. It's always in the movies. It's in the magazines. Huge breasts everywhere you go. Women go to the plastic surgeon to get breast implants because they want big breasts. But the average guy actually prefers medium or small size breasts to huge ones. And they're most attracted by a woman's legs. But if given the option, they would actually take Super Bowl tickets over a night of sex with a gorgeous woman. Those people are wrong. Because, and not about taking something over sex with a beautiful woman. It's about the Super Bowl tickets. You know, and I wonder how many guys out there, the average guy, has actually been to an NFL football game, because I don't want to go see it in person. I mean, I would. I'm not saying I wouldn't. But it's better at home on the couch, man. We're not talking about baseball. I love going to baseball games. And basketball games, there's no experience like real life. But when it comes to football, put me at home with some food, some beer. I actually like rum and cokes better, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, at home, relaxing, watching TV, because you get to see the whole field and all the different plays. I'm not a big fan of watching the NFL football in real life. It's fun, but it's better. And definitely when it comes to the Super Bowl, I would, if you gave me tickets to the Super Bowl, I would sell them, because I want to watch it at home. I don't want to see it in real life. I just don't find it to be as enjoyable. So anybody who would take Super Bowl tickets over sex with a gorgeous woman, you're an idiot. Pick something better than Super Bowl tickets. Speaking of sex, the average guy spends 730 hours a year thinking about sex, but only 22 hours actually having it. The average married guy gets it about 6 times a month. So that's like once a week, and then a couple of times twice a week. But he wishes he could have it twice as much, 12 times. So that would be 2-3 times a week is what most men are wishing for. Married men also change their underwear twice as much as single men. That's because they know if they don't change their underwear, their wife is, they won't have a wife anymore. That's what's going to happen. and single men, they don't have any women around that often. In fact, that's what they, that's why they change them. They're going out on a date and they say, uh-oh, my date's coming up. I better change my underwear. 93% shave other areas besides their faces. You know what that's about, right? Shaving downtown. At least we're at 93%. I mean, into the 7%. Come on, guys, that's not cool. Do you want to show a jungle off? I mean, do you want to see a jungle and a woman and go exploring? Come on, guys, you got to chop the forest down, okay? 13% of men have actually tried on a bra. How insecure. I've never felt the desire to try one of those things on. That's a little weird. 91% of men lie regularly. 91%. Now, these aren't just average lies. These men, 91% of men, are lying about the size of their man parts. Now, I assume this is like, this can't be 91% of all men, because seriously, when's the last time somebody asked you that question? But when somebody asks, yeah, they're lying about it. So don't believe men at all, which I'm sure is news to you, because men never lie, right? All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back here on the English Express Radio Podcast.
How do you get 10 teachers to agree on the best teaching method?
Shoot 9 of them.
You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast.
When you were a little kid and you thought about what you wanted to be, teaching was at the top of your list. But things changed. And as you got older, teaching didn't seem like the best option anymore. So you're thinking you'll be something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Now you want to be a doctor. You don't think teachers save lives? 25 at a time. An actress? Try playing a different role every time the bell rings. How about a scientist? Ever heard of physics? Chemistry? Who do you think teaches that? Teachers today are breaking down obstacles, finding innovative ways to instill old lessons, and taking learning far beyond the four walls of the classroom. It's time to recognize that great things are happening in teaching and put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
We're flat out amazing. Just ask your mama.
You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast. Nobody else is, but you are.
Welcome back to the English Express Radio Podcast. I didn't mention in the opening segment to make sure you visit us online, theenglishexpress.com. Audio files are posted after the show there. You can also find us on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store, search the English Express Radio Podcast. You're going to find us. Go ahead and subscribe. And feel free to leave a comment. Let us know how great we are. Now, man, I don't know about what's going on in this world. It seems like terrorists are everywhere. They're right, they're left, they're around every corner. So if you are in Brussels, where's Brussels? Isn't that like a Belgium? I think it's Belgium. So if you're in Belgium, you're just at the shopping center getting some groceries, and a man walks in wearing an exploding belt. You know those things that are like a belt and they've got like explosives all around them. He's got the little trigger and walks in. You're going to be pretty scared. I know I'm going to be pretty scared. I think I'm going to turn around and run the other direction. I'm not afraid of death. If it comes, it comes. That's not something that I'm really too worried about, but I'm not looking for it. And if somebody walks in this exit, I'm going out the other exit. So this suicide belt has a remote detonator. And he's telling everybody, if you do anything, if you run, I'm going to detonate this. So, of course, the police come in, and fortunately, he's arrested. No injuries, no troubles. That's because his explosive belt is filled with salt and cookies. Mm-hmm. Salt and cookies. I'm sure you will be shocked to learn that he's been known to have psychiatric problems in the past. He was claimed to have been stolen, abducted by some folks, and dropped off at the City 2 complex. Prosecutor says authorities are investigating whether or not the incident had any actual links to terrorism or whether it was a hoax. The answer, of course, is neither. It was the result of a deranged man, which we need to do something with him, because before you know it, he's going to be doing it for real. So that man needs to be taken to prison and given some serious help. He claims that he was recently enlisted to join ISIS, but prosecutors have no idea. People are even faking terrorism, so who knows? We haven't talked about sports in a while. So let's talk some sports, shall we? We know that in Rio de Janeiro, the Summer Olympics are coming up. What do we got? What, 5-6 weeks? Something like that? And reports are it's really bad out there. They are not prepared in any way, shape, or form for the Summer Olympics. And it seems now that several athletes have already become victims of crime out there. Because, you know, they're scoping it out, checking out the venues and stuff like that. Australian Paralympic sailor Liesl Tesch, 47, said that he was riding her bicycle as she was riding in the park on Sunday when a man with a gun demanded money. And when she didn't give it to him, he pushed her off the bicycle and rode away himself. A second man stole the bike of her team's physiotherapist, what Tesch termed an absolutely horrific crime. Tesch, if you're putting the theft of your bicycle in the realm of absolutely horrific, you must live a sheltered life, because I don't know, that's pretty bad and scary, but I don't know that I would call a bicycle theft absolutely horrific. This does come just a month after three Olympic sailors from Spain were also robbed at gunpoint, and this has the Australian Olympic Committee demanding a review of the number of security forces down in Rio and considering a curfew for athletes. Look, if I'm an athlete down in Rio de Janeiro, I don't know why they're going out after dark anyway. I would get myself some dinner, a beer, go to bed. I don't need any kind of trouble from armed gunmen. Incidentally, these women were robbed in broad daylight at 7:30 in the morning. So, okay, the curfew's not going to help with that, but maybe you should go with some friends. That's what I would do. People are much less likely to rob friends. At least you would hope so. I don't know. Or maybe just wait until you get home to go exercising. Brazilian officials say the city that has declared a financial emergency will be safe in August with 85,000 additional officers patrolling the streets, which is great, but I don't know, a city that's in financial emergency, maybe getting the Olympics was not the best plan. It's kind of like saying, I can't make my rent, but let's have a giant expensive party for a thousand of my closest friends, and we're going to build a giant structure in my backyard. If you don't have the money to pay your rent, why are you inviting thousands of people to your house for a giant birthday bash? This is not going to go well for Rio de Janeiro. Speaking of that, the Rio Olympics have not even started, and they already suck. You know the Olympic torch ceremony. You light the torch, and in grand tradition, you travel around to different cities. And in the northern city of Manaus, they had a jaguar. You know, that's a pretty common animal down there. And they had him next to the torch. He was chained up, and I don't like to be chained. I know you don't like to be chained. So why they thought a wild jaguar was going to be okay sitting next to the Olympic torch, chained up while people came up and viewed him, is beyond me. Of course, he escaped. And they had, well, what were they going to do? He's a wild animal. So unfortunately, he was shot dead, which I think is a tragedy. Leave the poor jaguars alone. This image goes against our beliefs and our values, the local organizing committee for Rio 2016 said to the news organization Reuters. They add, "We agree that there will be no more such incidents at Rio 2016. Well, I hope not. How about let's not capture wild jaguars and chain them up for people's amusement? The Olympic torch is traveling through Brazil leading up to the August 5th opening ceremony. So we can only hope that that's going to be followed. I have no idea what people are thinking these days. Now, when you gotta go, you gotta go. Check the score, that is. And what better place than the restroom? When men get dragged away from their sports games all the time. We have to go to Julie's house. We have to go to, you know, her son's birthday party. I want to watch the playoffs. Well, you're coming with me. It happens all the time, you know. So Yahoo Sports surveyed 1,500 United States adults between 18 to 64 to find out the worst place they have ever succumbed to curiosity and checked the score of the game. And this is what I'm talking about, because when a big game is on, you got to check the score. See how, I mean, if you can't see the game, at least you got to know what's happening, right? Male fans admitted to checking scores, a quarter of them, 25%, while using the bathroom. Of course. In class, oh man, I used to do this all the time. Of course, when I was in school, we didn't have all of these really cool devices where you could like pull up the score on your phone. So I actually had a radio that I had turned to KHTK 1140 Sports Talk Radio. And I would listen to the games and the scores with the little earbud in my ear. Man, we didn't even have wireless headphones then. I had to have the wire hidden down my shirt. 18% say they check on a date. Okay, that's your own fault, boys. If you... Come on! Why would you schedule a date on the night of a big game? At a wedding? This is the fault of the wedding planners. Because they do this all the time. They go, well, you know, it's cheaper to have our wedding on Super Bowl Sunday. Of course, that's because everyone else is doing the right thing of watching the game. But no, you have to get married and then all your friends have to get dragged to the wedding. So you know they're going to be checking the scores. At a school event, you know, your kids are doing the big play. Gotta check the score there. At church service. Oh yeah, I'm guilty of this one. And 4%, 8% check at the church service. And only 4% check at the funeral. Well, you can't plan that, but you know, he would want me to check the score of the game. He liked the Niners too. He didn't play. We were going to watch this game together. And now he's gone. He wants me to check this score. Alright. That's the sports pile and our show for today. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Email us info@theenglishexpress.com with your comments, concerns, questions, whatever. Check out the website, theenglishexpress.com. Share us with your friends. Brandon should be back next week. I'm not sure. If he's not, I'll still be here. We'll do another show. In the meantime, we'll be back next week with more stimulating talk radio here on the English Express Radio Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
A gerund and an infinitive walked into a bar, drinking a drink. You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast.